Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Ibrahim Fakir is a political analyst and a director of programs at our Socioeconomic Research Institute, the ASRI. He joins us this morning. Good morning. Thanks for doing so. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning, Howard, and good morning, your listeners.
All right, so let's start off with the very basics. What does this actually mean?
It's very simple, Howard. At the national and provincial level, when we go out to vote, we vote on a proportional representation system. And look, there are many, many different voting systems, right? But the proportional representation system, as the name suggests, is a simple translation of the proportion of votes that a political party would get is the proportion of seats they would get in the parliament or the legislature. So, for example, if there are 10 seats in a parliament, right, and there are 100,000 people in a country, and the number of parties that are contesting are four of them. So the first party, let's call it Party X, gets 200,000 votes out of the 100,000.
Right.
So that, what proportion is that? That would be 20%. They would get 20% of the seats. So out of the 100 seats, or the 10 seats that are left, 20% would be two. They would get two seats. So that's the simple proportional representation.
In other words, for each region, that's a proportional amount for that area.
Well, for the provinces, right?
For the provinces,
because each province is regarded as one constituency, but for national parliament, it's the entire country. So the entire country is regarded as one constituency. Because remember, when you go to vote at the national provincial level, you get two ballots. You get one paper for the national election and a second for the province.
Right.
Now, when it comes to the local government election, the one that we're going to vote in now, on the 1st of November, the system is slightly different. And with that slight difference, massive complications creep in, particularly in the way in which the system is configured. And what we have at the local, the municipal level, that means at the level of the city or urban municipality, we have a mixed system, which mixes the proportional representation system I just described with a first-past-the-post system. That means 50% of the seats in a municipal council are made up of the proportional representation seats. The other half are made up of what I call ward councillors. That means in the old traditional sense of a geographic constituency, a small voting district, one representative will be elected from there on a first-past-the-post system. That means if Ibrahim and Howard stood for an election, let's say in Killarney, for example, and I get 48 votes, and how it gets 49, and one person spoiled their ballot, who would get that seat? It'll be Howard, because he got one more, right?
Right.
So that's just for the area of Killarney, which will, let's, for example, say, make up one seat in the city of Johannesburg Council. But only half of those seats are elected that way. The other half are elected off the proportional representation system. That's why every voter in the city of Johannesburg will again get two papers. One to choose the ward candidate, that means the person in their constituency who will win on a first-past-the-post system, that means the person who gets the most votes, and they will get a second ballot where they will choose a political party, which will be calculated on the proportional system.
Right. A lot of questions, I've been asked a lot of questions around the ward councillors. Electing them, is that on the basis simply of what they do for your community? Or should that also be about the party that they represent in terms of the bigger picture?
No. ideally. Now, mm-hmm. you know, of course, I mean, you and I both know that voters vote for on a number of bases. I mean, you know, you don't know what determines my vote. I don't know what determines your vote, right? We can never say. I can tell you, but I could misrepresent it.
Well, even to yourself, I can tell you that I'm not even sure that we understand fully all of our motivations and nuances and, you know, everything we bring to the voting station.
Absolutely, absolutely. But that's why in an ideal world, and I think we should encourage people to do this, is that the ward candidate, that person who's going to represent you in your little constituency, ideally that person should be elected on the basis of what they do for the community, what they do for the people living in that area. Do they solve the problems of the water outages? Do they respond, or do they at least try to help ensure that a pothole is filled? Do they try and ensure that a verge is cut, or the grass is cut, and there isn't overgrowth? Do they do those kind of things for the local area? Do they ensure that, you know, well, despite Eskom's outages, do they ensure that they at least bring up the issues that require to be brought up at council to solve the electricity outages as often as possible? Do they, for example, if an old gogo needs a grandchild to be registered at a no-fee school, or if they need to be put onto the indigence register to get free basic services, do they try to facilitate that? That's ideally the basis on which your ward councillor should be elected. What do they do for the community? As distinct, as you rightly point out, from the PR councillor. The PR councillor is the councillor who's going to carry the mandate of the political party, the broader, grander vision that they would like to see for the city. And I think South Africans need to get better and more mature at understanding the difference between the two. And if possible, you might even split your vote. Because, you know, the ward councillor guy might be from a party you don't really like, or it could, of course, be a woman. It's from a party you don't really like, but they actually get the job done. Vote for them. Why not?
And in that case, it wouldn't make a difference, because a lot of people are confused when they say, oh, no, I don't know if I want to vote for an independent because then, or a smaller party because then it splits the vote. That we really shouldn't be doing that. We should be voting for, in terms of a ward councillor, who's going to get the job done, and then we can vote for somebody else for the other options.
Absolutely, on the PR there. Or sometimes you might even think, you know, at a national level, there's a particular party which articulates and is close to what I kind of feel like and what my political identity looks like. So at a national or provincial level, I might vote for a different kind of party. But at local level, I might vote for someone else because they actually get things done for the community. Streets clean, potholes filled, street lights often work. They try to take our issues and bringing them up at when councils meet. But we should remember, hey, that even though we've got half the people who are elected on a ward basis and the other half elected on a PR basis, and then the ward councillors are meant to take up the issues of the community, I mean, you can guess which councillors the political parties prefer. The PR councillors, right? Because they're going to do the party's bidding.
Of course.
And informally, even though all councillors have the same amount of power and influence once they are elected into council, informally the PR councillors carry a little more weight because the parties like them. The parties like that they be the ones who are more powerful. And we also must try and have that kind of informal system reversed. The ward councillors must become much more powerful.
Do you think we are becoming more mature as voters, or just more despondent?
A little bit of both. Unfortunately, there's a global creep of cynicism, and not just skepticism. You know, skepticism is important in politics. Yeah. Skepticism is important in everything.
Absolutely.
But we have now taken a step further into cynicism. So there's a lot of cynicism, and the cynicism is expressing itself in people staying away from the polls. And from 2019 in the national election, you'll note that the voter turnout the number of people that turned out to vote was quite low. Now, you know, I don't know what the voter turnout will be for this local election, but typically local elections attract a slightly lower voter turnout anyway, because the issues, you know, are not that grand, the campaigns are not as big, the momentum and the coverage by the media is not that big, even though, you know, we're seeing a lot of coverage now. Local elections typically have people who turn out less. And the despondency might be expressed in ways where people don't turn out. But we should know South Africans express their despondency in other ways too. The destructive protests, the violence which goes along sometimes with what people call service delivery protests and so on. And I think the political parties haven't kept pace with the nature of the changes in South African society and what South Africans' aspirations are. And there's a big mismatch between them. So if you look at public perception surveys, many of them are showing pretty low levels of trust and confidence in public institutions.
Yeah, do you think we're going to see that as a problem, a lower voter turnout?
I think we're likely going to see a lower voter turnout, and we're seeing this kind of attitudinal change among South Africans. So from 2011, we're noticing slightly more strategic, or what I would call instrumental voting. So typically, one wouldn't have expected that black South Africans would support the DA. But from 2011 onwards, you'll find that in the black township areas, there's an increase in the support for the DA of on average 2.5%. Things started changing again in 2019, but there is definitely, to answer your question, a greater maturity in the approach to the instrumentality of the vote. Now, it's expressed both, as I say, partly as a stay away because of the despondency, right, but partly a shift to vote for other parties. But who knows, that this 2021 local election, all bets are off around turnout.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I've got a hunch, and I said it on radio yesterday, is that despite the way the DA is portrayed in the media and the hatred that social media particularly has for the DA, I still think they're going to do better in these elections, because even if they have misstepped, number one, they've been out there on the streets since July, they've been visible, and number two is they stand for something. Even if you don't, and people don't agree with what they stand for, I do think that they're going to do better simply because of that. I don't know what your thoughts are.
It's impossible to say, Howard, but I think your hunch is right. And, you know, in 2016, I think they surprised people, because people would have simply thought, at least in the big metropolitan areas, Joburg, Pretoria, PE, that the ANC will run away in those cities. And they didn't, because the DA, at least in Nelson Mandela Bay, did much better than people expected. And I would hope, for the sake of our politics, that they in fact do better than people expect. And I'll tell you why. It's not because, you know, we're expecting a minority sentiments or anything of that sort. It's simply because we must try and have a balance in the institutions between the majority and the accountability that can be brought about by parties in opposition who are slightly stronger than they are now. And we know one of those parties is simply about creating chaos and destruction and mayhem and upset, right? And that's not productive in ensuring oversight and accountability. But if you have stable minority parties which actually do ask hard questions, which don't think oversight is a visit to a facility to have a nice look, but who inspect the books, who say, you said you're going to hire X number of nurses and doctors, where are they? You said the books say that you bought X amount of medical equipment, where is it? That's the nature of oversight, and that needs to extend to everything, from repairing the water pumps to ensuring the reservoirs work. That's the kind of oversight you need. And if you have a strong, stable opposition party, whether it be the ANC or the DA, at least they can carry out that mandate. Even though it's in their party interest in the immediate term, it serves to benefit the public broadly. And that's why I think we do need that panel.